Thursday, 5 May 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so much for tuning into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We are in the book of 1 John, chapter 4. We want to welcome any of you who are new today, and I certainly want to welcome back and express our appreciation to those of you who stay with us faithfully. We're looking at a great truth, as I know we're in 1 John chapter 4, but over in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, is writing about Christian suffering, and we're not to think it a strange thing when it happens, and also we are to use the Lord Jesus Christ as our example. And in the midst of this great dissertation on suffering, he's led to write this tremendous truth, 1 Peter 4:8. Father, again, bless us with thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. He said, in the midst of suffering or anything else you're doing, remember this. He said, the greatest of all these things, and above all things, have fervent charity. Have fervent love of God among yourselves, for charity or the love of God shall cover the multitude of sins. And that has brought us into 1 John chapter 4, one of the two chapters that's given to love in the precious word of God. And especially beginning in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Well, we spent quite a bit of time. In no sense have we exhausted this. In fact, you cannot exhaust this. I like the way Frederick Lehman put this to word in music with a song entitled, The Love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and the angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean feel, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And then this beautiful course, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Hallelujah. What a tremendous truth. Now in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we read these wonderful words, we love him because he first loved us. Dear friend, this verse removes all pride, all boasting. We are saved by the grace of God. We are kept by the grace of God. We serve by the grace of God. We didn't go seeking God. He came seeking us. We didn't choose him first. He chose us. And dear friend, we love him because he first loved us. And I was thinking how he has invested in our lives. Now you say, preacher, that might sound a little strange as we're looking at the love of God. But no, you know, love gives. We're going to see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. One of the great characteristics of true love is that it gives. And God, when he saved us and called us, he invested so much in our lives. And I'd like to call your attention right now over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I believe this would be real timely right now. Let a man so account of us, I'm beginning in verse 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Wow, what a statement for this man, this great Pharisee of the Pharisees, after he was saved to make. I'm speaking of Saul of Tarsus when he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And of course, he became Paul, the precious apostle, the preacher of God's word. For I know nothing by myself. Boy, that takes down educational pride, does it not, intellectual pride? For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, till the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. One of my big problems, I know this is not a confession booth, but one of my big problems is I can come to premature judgment at times. I'll hear something, I'll think something, and I'll form some kind of opinion about it, only to find out later that it was premature. The time was not ready for me to make that decision. I did not have enough input to make that decision. And he says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Wow, that's going to be a time, is it not? And will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. There's going to be a lot of embarrassment in that day, dear friend, when God makes manifest, when he makes seen the counsel of the hearts. You know what the counsel of the heart is? The counsel of the heart will reveal not just what we did, but why we did what we did, and what was going on in our hearts. And dear friend, you and I both know that the heart is deceitful above all things. It is desperately wicked. That's going to be some judgment, is it not? Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. When God straightens all that out, dear friend, when he reveals the hidden things of darkness and makes known the counsels of the heart, then we'll know what was really real. Now, read all that to get up here to verses 6 and 7, over here to verses 6 and 7. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. Now, for what purpose, Paul? Why did you do this? Well, he answers it. That you might learn of us, in us, that you might learn in us, not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Or what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? My, what a tremendous portion of scripture here. Paul said, I have written this thing to you that you might learn this. Don't you think of one man above another. If there's anything good, dear friend, it has come from the Lord. Should we appreciate people? Certainly we should. Should we encourage people? Absolutely we should encourage them. But we're not to think of men above that which is written. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And dear friend, even the best among us have their problems. I read a tremendous statement by Charles Spurgeon just recently in his morning and evening devotional books. And dear friend, even in the holiest places, you'll find the devil really challenging the people of God. And then he goes on to say this, and we'll hurry, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Dear friend, what he's simply saying here is this. It is God who makes us to differ one from another, just as the great Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ, makes no two snowflakes alike. He doesn't make two people alike. It is God that makes us different one from another. And by the way, the talents that we have are all the gift and the grace of God. For what is thou that thou didst not receive? A dear friend, we came into this world, naked came we into this world, and naked are we going out of this world. And anything and everything that we have that is worthwhile comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now the message to us is, now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? Oh, may God help us to thank him for everything he has entrusted to us, realizing that God has loved us and invested in our lives. Yea, these lives belong to him if we're saved, and they're to be used for his honor and for his glory. What a wonderful Savior. Oh, the love of God is greater far than tongue of man or pen of men can ever tell, that's for sure. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy precious word. The entrance of it truly giveth light. Thank you for loving us, so that we can, O God, in return, love thee. What a wonderful privilege this is. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May our Lord be pleased to make each of us a channel of his blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.